It says Broberg is here.
Recording in progress.
What? Wait a minute.
JJ, you're doing Broberg. It to us? There he is.
Hey.
I can't hear you.
And my audio was almost working.
Wow. Who are you?
Yeah. It's magic. It's massive improvements. It's my quality of life.
It's been like 2 weeks. I literally don't know who you are.
Yes, you do. We don't know who this JJ character is, who keeps code in a can.
It's true.
I see your old school chef shirt.
Yeah, the code can shirt. It's one of the best ones ever made.
It was a really good shirt.
Yeah.
I don't know. Victory Ops had this great one with a kitten astronaut. And
a kitten astronaut.
Yeah, just like a little cat in the astronaut thing with like some stars behind it. It just said Victory Ops somewhere on the suit. And people are like, oh, is that like a space camp? Like, or what's that from? I'm like, yes, exactly.
Yes. Nice.
I think Victor Ops, didn't they have a bunch of the wolves howling at the moon?
They had Jason Hand, and that was it. That's all they had.
Yeah. Oh, you know, he went to every single DevOps days for like the longest time, like literally every single DevOps days.
Yep.
And until it became impossible.
I was going to say, how can you do that? But I guess there was a time when there weren't like three or four in a weekend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I like, so Jason Hand, if you don't know him, look him up on Twitter. He's a lovely human, a great representative of Colorado, but I always did really admire him for that. He made DevOps this thing in a way that I've never committed to anything and was there, wrote a book about it. Like just really, great way to kind of differentiate yourself in this tech market is like when you find a thing that you can not just tolerate but enjoy, like hot damn, get into it if you're into that.
I mean, on the downside, now that DevOps is dead, he's just an empty shell of a man with no reason to exist anymore.
Yeah, there's nowhere for DevOpsians to move on except for DevOps teams.
Oh,
there's a little whimper in the background. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
How are people doing?
Doing all right. How about yourself?
I see half our squad that went to reInvent survived it. Would you care to tell the tale?
Sure.
It was a lot much. I'm just going to say that. Like KubeCon, it was vendors standing around desperately looking for people to talk to. That was not a problem. There was lines to the Red Hat booth. There was lines to like all the booths. I haven't been to a reInvent before. I have been to Vegas during reInvent, which is even worse than going to reInvent. So I don't know what it's like usually, but I feel this year, crowd wise, not numbers, but just like people in the same space around me, it was probably about on par with like a pre-COVID, like KubeCon or OpenStack summit.
Yeah.
Wow. Damn. Really?
And I can only imagine what reInvent was like 3 years ago, if that's what it was like.
Yeah. I was mostly on the expo floor because I only had the booth pass. So I was working the booth. They estimated, I think, like 25,000 people or something like that. So there were a good amount of people there. I didn't get to see anything else. I didn't get to go to anything because booth floor or schmoozing with people on the booth floor, like finding friends, finding other dev advocates, finding random people, or like trying to hide in my room, trying to get something done or sleeping. Yeah. Sleeping happened a lot just because it was just so many people in such a short time after not seeing many people in such a short time.
A bit emotional exhaustion, like introvert back to extroversion.
Oh, yeah.
I managed to avoid Vegas. Like, I was staying off strip, but I was like a 15-minute walk from the event. But to get to the expo hall, you could actually go through like Caesar's Forum and get like in the back way. So I never had to go through a casino.
Oh, wow.
Because I was staying at a non-casino hotel. So it was perfect. And so it was just a nice walk down a uncrowded street because it's kind of where the trucks go to deliver stuff or whatever, right? And then into the event and then back to the hotel. I kind of avoided the parties. I avoided most of the nonsense. But I did finally get a surprise attack of the Vegas on my last night. I decided to decided to go to In-N-Out. And there's an In-N-Out at the Link, which is just under the big Ferris wheel. And I didn't know that if you walk through the little pathway next to the Ferris wheel, it opens up into this like street of just like bars and whatever. And
oh, really?
If you go there at like 11 at night, it's like full on drunken debauchery mode. And so I avoided this whole time. And then like I walked through to just find In-N-Out and suddenly just boom, surrounded by like the prototypical Vegas, like drunken debauchery. It was even, I think, Friday night. So it was like at its peak.
So
I had to like stand in In-N-Out surrounded for like, it was like a 30 something minute to get in, get food and get out. Just like hemmed in by like loud drunk people. And I'm like, oh, this is what I was avoiding. And then on the way out, there was the classic, a woman had too much and her friends were failing to hold her up. So like the security guards were running over with a wheelchair to put her in so they could wheel her off.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, oh yeah, this is Vegas.
So yeah, I stayed down the strip, like a good 45 minute walk from the location. So I was at the Vidara. So I did manage to pick a hotel that did not have a casino, but one of my coworkers goes to Vegas all the time. So he was showing me like all the shortcuts to get to where I needed to go, which took me through the casinos. But I have to admit, like, I wandered around as a lone woman at night with a backpack on. I did not feel unsafe at all. And now I'm walking down the strip itself, and then I'm going into the casinos where you're overly safe. So that was actually kind of nice. That's really encouraging. I also left before the rodeo really got started, which I think is where you saw the drunken debauchery coming.
Right.
So the rodeo started like the weekend after reInvent.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't like a metaphorical rodeo. It's like a literal.
An actual rodeo. Yeah. These were the nationals for rodeo. Yeah. Not a metaphorical rodeo. No. I guess that's a good question for Vegas. Is it a real rodeo?
There's a lot of riding bareback in Vegas, regardless.
Is it actually a
shit show, or is it a show that's flinging shit all over? Both are happening at Vegas at any given time.
You honestly don't know.
Well, there you go.
The conference was good, but it was very busy.
So how long were you y'all in actual Vegas? Like how many nights total?
I flew in early Monday morning and I left early Friday morning.
Yeah.
Because I literally got home ridiculously late Sunday night from the holidays. So there was no option for me to get there earlier and like sleep in. So yeah.
I guess to follow up, when was the moment that you realized that you were in Vegas too long? That's usually, it's different for everybody. And I'm always curious to see you. At that moment that you've been in Vegas for a conference at all. Oh, wow.
No, probably because I literally left as soon as I humanly could.
Okay.
Usually feel that when I land there. So I don't know.
As soon as I see that sign, Las Vegas, so I'm like, oh, fuck.
This was actually my first
chain smoker pushing coins in at the airport. You're like, I've gone to a terrible place.
This was my first trip to Vegas. This was my first trip to Vegas, my first trip to reInvent. So this was all a new experience for me.
Oh, wow.
So. Surprise. Wow.
I don't even know how to respond without being weird. Wow.
I managed to avoid it this long. I do want to say that Laura is a GDP, just goddamn professional.
Oh.
Because she was at the booth
gross domestic
the whole time. Working her ass off, and I just want to say good on you, Laura, because not a lot of us actually do what we should be doing when we're at conferences like that. So it's refreshing to see someone actually willing and able to just get in and do their damn job.
Able, maybe begrudgingly willing, but able.
Or maybe bullied into doing it so others didn't have to, but you know, whichever way it works.
Compensated and able. Compensated.
There we go. Well compensated and very able. There we go. That works.
Good. Yeah. Well, folks, got any news on your minds before we get to the foods?
So I saw a thing and it was like, this is kind of ridiculous. And that is, there is a bunch of scientists that developed a questionnaire you could take to determine whether or not your cat is a psychopath. And it's like,
what?
Yes, of course he is.
I love my cats and they are like, that's part of their joy.
It's like, I read into it. It was kind of more of the like, how much of a psychopath are they? More than are they? But yeah, it was strange.
It's also a weird anthropomorphic argument too. Right. Like psychopathy is like this concept of being abnormal in human behavior.
Right.
Cats, that's just called normal. Like there's no psychopathy.
And this is why I have dogs.
Oh, but they're...
They're also psychopaths.
It's true.
Maybe.
Ooh.
They're less murdery.
There's a little bit of delay. All right, Laura, you retort.
I said maybe.
that's not an answer.
No, it's not an answer. I mean, my dogs are very smart and like know how to open doors and stuff. But they don't like run off to go destroy things. Well, I shouldn't say that. Xena catches squirrels, but just wants them to stop moving. So she'll put her paw on their head and just like make them stop moving because she's a herder and that's what she wants to do. Like, stop moving. You're not supposed to move. Duke, very on the other hand, Duke knows what to do with squirrels in his mind. He will shove her out of the way and grab on, and it's not fun. So the squirrels in our neighborhood aren't too bold anymore.
I'm just reading this article now and I've got to give a little excerpt from the professional in question. My cat Gumball scores relatively high on the disinhibition scale, which means he can be quite vocal, proximity seeking, and excitable. Like, now I want to take this test to know more about my cat. Damn it, they got me.
This just sounds like a bunch of psychologists that because they couldn't see people.
Oh, yeah.
Needed something to do.
Looks like I'm going to study my cat for 2 years.
This works.
No one thought COVID would be worth it, but see what we got. This is great.
We got the Myers-Briggs for cats.
Oh dear.
It's cat astrology, but fun.
We'll have to get our cats to start carrying like their 5 strengths on their collar. So
oh no.
I love this. I love this for us.
Oh, no.
Any other snippets in the week or in your personal lives that are exciting?
Well, not my personal life, but I have a snippet of news that's one of those things that makes you just pause.
Pause.
Like
that was pause. A perfect transition.
Pause. Yes, it was.
Yes, pause. And pause. Hit the pause button. Thanks for that. You apparently can now play video games on your Tesla screens while the car is moving.
Well, this is fine.
Oh yeah, of course. Why wouldn't you?
Well,
hey, play Google, Cookie Run. Can you show me what driving? What's libertarianism applied to technology? Oh, look, I've got a Tesla ad. Perfect.
Oh, wait, you actually have your Google is up and running?
Oh no, I'm just fucking around. Like that's such okay, a good. Like oh, I don't
because I was about care. To start trolling you so hard. Anyway, so yeah, so apparently they've always had this, or not always, but like they've had this ability to play video games on your Tesla screen when it's in park. Mm-hmm. Well, apparently now you can do it while it's in drive.
Wasn't the main game?
Great idea.
What's it called? Like cup something, cup, crazy cup or something like that. Cuphead. No.
I could say so many things, but I'm trying not to.
Yeah. What are we cupping? I'm really confused. Is that why you have cup holders in the car?
I hate you all so much. Ugh. But anyway, it was like they got it for free on the Tesla or whatever, but it's like a really crazy like side scrolling game. So I can only imagine like trying to play that on a touch screen while the car is driving. Like this is just a disaster. It's just a disaster all the way around.
Well, you could just use the steering wheel as a joystick, right?
Oh, I guess you're right. Yeah, makes sense.
While you're driving.
Yeah, of course.
Anyway, what I just had to share that.
It's the next level of VR.
They should build an AR game where it turns all the pedestrians into zombies, and then you get points for every zombie you hit.
Nice.
Wow. Oh.
Be like Carmageddon, but in your Tesla.
Oh, it's Black Mirror, but fun.
No, we are in season 7 of Black Mirror right now. Did you not know this?
Yeah.
We are living it.
In so many ways. That show got me through the early days of 2016 election results. I was like, this feels awful, but watching this, I'm like, it could be worse. But I didn't expect the next 5 years to try to build off that.
Yeah.
Charlie Brooker has actually said that he is not making another series because we are living in Black Mirror now.
I mean, I don't know if
you're in there. Yeah.
We were like, if Black Mirror was holding a mirror up to society or society was holding a mirror up to Black Mirror. Like, I can't figure out which one moved towards the other.
Mm-hmm. Definitely a Spider-Man pointing back at Spider-Man moment.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Don't enjoy it. Let's talk about food to kind of rinse our palate there. Well, I heard somebody got into hibachi.
Landon got gifted a cast iron hibachi grill. That we still have yet to take out for its first voyage. We were planning to go camping after reInvent, but I came back very much needing to sleep. So, but yes, we have this cast iron hibachi. He's gone through, cleaned it up, retreated it, gotten rid of all the rust because this was his father's hibachi, like cast iron thing that he never used. So it hasn't really been used very much. But yeah, so what should we cook on it other than stores? So
why don't you start by explaining what a hibachi grill is? Because not everyone
may know. I don't know exactly how to explain this thing, but I'll try. So I don't even know if it's actually officially called a hibachi grill. That's what people told me it was called. So I could be completely wrong. But it's basically like a cast iron basin. Like a oval shaped basin with a flat bottom that you can put all the coals in. There's a little door that you can open up to get to those coals. And then there's a grill on top of that to be able to like grill steaks on it, or you can get a flat top that you can do like pancakes on, things like that.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's almost like a self-contained fire pit type thing. I don't know. Like, am I explaining this well, Paul? Like,
I'm envisioning a Weber in my mind, just not like a bowl.
I want JJ's Rorschach results immediately. That sounds like...
All right, let me take a shot. So yeah, it's almost like a portable like charcoal cooker. I think they originated from Japan, and they're either a like a box shape, like a open rectangular like thing, or they can Broberg's also grill. Be circles.
His grill, Broberg's grill. Then his little like
it sounds like the PK. Thing.
So it's, it's smaller, right? So it's longer and thinner than maybe but it's like thinner, right? So like classic things to cook on it is things like skewered meats and stuff like that. You know, one or two hamburgers, a steak or two. But they're designed to be like really efficient. So they usually have pretty well insulated sides or pretty thick metal sides. And you can kind of get away with not needing to cook too much, like burn too much charcoal in them to get really good heat. And then if you're using the good Japanese style charcoal, you'll actually get like 3-4 hours of cooking out of them.
Wait, where do I get this charcoal?
Oh, that's a whole other thing. So it's called Binchotan is like the really good Japanese, and then it goes in different grades. And so I think like you get your white Binchotan, and that's like the super hardcore stuff. And like you hit two pieces together, it sounds like metal because it's just almost like pure carbon. And they make it by like doing whole sticks and stuff. And they basically they cook it for like you make charcoal by basically cooking wood, but without letting it properly burn. Right. And so it gets all the volatile stuff out, and it's basically just the charcoal, which then burns well. And so the Japanese stuff is just a specific woods, but also specifically done. So it takes a very long time at lower heat. And so you end up with a super dense, super high heat, long burning material. And so that's what you usually see for like the high end, like yakitori and stuff like that, is they have a hibachi like grill. Often you'll hear it called a yakitori grill, which is not really a yakitori grill. And you'll also hear it called a konro style grill. But konro is just Japanese for like cooking, like stove, more so than a specific style.
It looks super cool. We'll pop a photo in the whatever notes if anyone ever actually looks at that. But it does look like a miniature grill, and yeah, it's fascinating.
I'm excited.
Actually, so the other thing is traditionally hibachi was actually used for heating, not for cooking.
Oh, really?
So it was used to like heat your house or whatever, more so than cooking. And so the American hibachi is kind of a bastardization of that. That is a cooking stove, which is a shichiren in Japanese.
Okay.
So I've got my first recommendation.
He's making all this stuff up, by the way.
There's no fact checker on this.
There's nothing. We haven't.
I will say I would highly recommend the onion choo-choo train as a first step to your hibachi experiences.
The onion choo-choo train.
Did no one else go to like
a cheesy American hibachi
restaurant? This shit's awesome.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. All right. So that's the other style of like American hibachi is really a teppan, which is like the Japanese like flat top grill that you see in like a teppanyaki restaurant.
Yeah.
So I grew up in rural upstate New York. If you drove about 45 minutes away, you got to the one Japanese restaurant for like a 2-hour radius, and they had a hibachi grill. And literally the only thing I had asked for my birthday is to go to the hibachi. And
choo-choo train.
They do. It's like it's a show, right? So it takes an onion and layers on the different layers until it does that, shoots some oil down the middle, lights it on fire like a volcano. And then when it blows it out, he like taps along with his spatulas to make a choo-choo sound. And it made me happy until this exact moment of my life.
Wow. No, it still makes me happy. I still go.
I'm with you, JJ. Childlike wonder. That's what we bring to this show. These two bitter people across from us.
I'm not saying I'm bitter. I'm just saying I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm gonna find you a video. It's gonna bring you so much joy.
JJ, I've seen like Japanese places here, like in Texas and stuff that have that, but I've never actually sat down at the hibachi and had the adventure because they do all sorts of stuff, right? They flip like eggs at your face and like all.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they always have a little sake guy, and it usually is him peeing on you, and he tries to get you to drink a bunch of sake out of a guy peeing.
Oh, or they throw like a little shrimp in your mouth. It'll be like,
just throw the shrimp and then catch him in top of their hat.
Now that's something I need to know, is that I can't go to that. So that makes
sense. They do ask for allergies. They do make
sure. Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. So that's something that would be okay.
Yes.
So, all right. So we're now watching someone making what looks to be, I guess you could call it a volcano. It also looks the like Benihana
onion choo-choo.
Look, there's a smoke. There's a smoke.
And he's
Well, I can't hear anything, and neither can anyone listening.
He's tapping his knife on the metal, and I guess that's simulating the like the train going over the rails.
Train going down the track. So, for people watching this visual medium known as a podcast, what we just watched was a really flat hibachi grill, like in a commercial setting kind of thing, and they took an onion, it looks like, and chopped it up along the side so that you get these onion rings that are stacked on top of one another. And then I guess that was a zucchini cut in half that they were using to push it across the hot metal with oil inside. And
can you hear it now?
As they're pushing it across,
our ears are bleeding now. Thank you. The steam,
they're actually hitting their metal spatula on the thing which is going across. So hopefully I described that well. You'll have to tell me in on Twitter or something if that makes no sense.
I'm sorry for your eardrums. I shared audio via Zoom, and I didn't expect that result.
It was very loud. And it was now on the recording.
Here we go.
Well, okay. For all that is holy, start using Levelator if it still works on. You don't have an M1 Mac yet. Because it's wonderful at just leveling out the audio across everybody and normalizing it.
I've used it a few times for us, actually, when we've had some bad recordings. So
is Paul frozen or just judging us? It's hard to tell.
Frozen.
He's frozen. I think that's going to be our screen. That's going to be the picture because that's just too good. That's just too good.
Because he's judging our food. That's right.
Well,
perfect.
There he goes.
And maybe he'll come back. So there's a Paul.
Aw, Paul's back.
It's a Paul.
And your audio's messed up. Oh, you're on mute.
The best time. It's the best time.
Apparently, that was so exciting that my Zoom decided to like hard crash.
I think it committed seppuku, is the term I was going for. Well, anyway, that was a fun. I'm glad JJ and I got a bunch of joy. And Laura, I look forward to going to a hibachi with you at some point because it's cheesy and wonderful.
But hold on a second. So I've got an onion choo-choo train as a suggestion. What other things can I do on this thing? Like, what should we do as like the try this first?
I would generally just go get some nice like New York strips or whatever from HEB and then just try that first. You a look. But just try it first. Like then you can see how much food you can actually put on it and what you can come out with it. Like do it in your backyard or whatever. And then when you go camping, then you're not just doing it for the first time because the heat's going to be different, right, Paul? Like it's going to be slow and steady. And a steak is really
forgiving. It's going to be really hot. What are you talking about? I mean, it's going to be crazy hot.
You don't put a bunch of charcoal in there, right? Like I wouldn't.
Yeah, but it's so concentrated, it's going to be like 500 plus degrees in no time. Okay. That's kind of the magic of it.
Also, it's kind of like putting it in a thing on the burner, like the, what is it?
Like a charcoal chimney.
Yeah, charcoal chimney.
In a way, it's like a charcoal chimney. Like it's not exactly, but it does have similar effects. It does kind of supercharge the heat because the heat's got nowhere to go up because the sides are really well insulated.
Oh, okay.
So what I'm hearing is do a sunny side up egg just to try it. Okay. I'm just kidding. Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of it might drip through the grill grates, but otherwise it'll be perfect.
No, if we got the flat version, so it's like you can interchange the grate with a flat piece or something. We don't have it yet. That's like coming next, but yeah.
What is something you want to cook at high heat and actually get it cooked enough to eat it after? It'd have to be pretty thinly sliced is what comes to mind.
Yeah, so actually that's not a bad call out. Any of the kind of Asian like barbecue meats, you know, you get the thinly sliced meat to like do on like Korean style barbecue. That would be great.
Yeah, like a bulgogi.
H-Mart run.
Just don't get any of the heavily marinated stuff because that will burn to the grate and then you have to like clean it. And it's not a problem. It's just you have to clean it. So I would suggest keeping it simple with salt and pepper and then adding some sauces afterwards. But even doing steaks, like JJ said, will be fine. Like you just keep flipping it, you know, every 30 seconds, flip it until it's at about the right temperature, take it off. Stuff like asparagus would probably be really good.
Oh yeah.
Zucchini is good. You could even do like pre-do some like little like skewers, like zucchini, cherry tomatoes, little onions, and just have them pre-made. If you have a like a food saver, you can even like portion them into like meals.
A food saver, you said?
A food saver, yeah, like a
The little zipper thing,
vacuum seal.
Yeah, the vacuum sealer. Oh.
Yeah,
yeah, but even Ziploc bags you can do as well, right? And that actually works really well because you have like the exact food you need for that meal. And like, even if it's some meat and some vegetables, it doesn't matter because it's all going to get cooked, right? So you don't really have to worry about cross-contamination.
Yeah, you're talking about for going camping. So
that you take
it all, like zip it up. And...
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It should be fun. I think it should be a good time. So we'll hopefully use it this weekend just to try it. And then when we finally get a chance to go camping, maybe when it's not so hot here in Texas, because it's like going to be 87 tomorrow.
What?
What the?
Really?
What?
Really?
Yes, really.
Where do you weirdos live? That's come up here for your 5-degree days.
You can come down here to wear shirts and a t-shirt again.
Hey, we get our cold front on Sunday. It's going to hit 34.
At night. That's legit. For like a minute. Yeah.
For a minute.
Then it's then it's back to 80 degrees on Tuesday.
No, that's the only freezing like in our near future. So
I might die.
Oh,
it's not uncommon to have 80 degrees on Christmas Day.
Actually, in all seriousness, we do have a problem with people dying from heat in Texas.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, I read the stories of your freedom electricity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's why many data centers are here.
That's the best bit, is people die because it's too hot. We don't have the facilities to cope with it. And then people die because it's too cold, because we don't have the facilities to deal with it.
Yeah.
Yay.
Texas. Us. Texas forever.
Great state of Texas.
That's right.
Well, you're welcome in Minnesota. We have electricity on hot and cold days, and you just have to survive the cold ones.
So that reminds me, I have to talk about a billboard that is here in Austin that we've been passing a lot. It says Ohio, because it's trying to get you to move to Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
And it says something about, 360... one days of sunshine doesn't mean much if you're stuck inside or something. And I'm like, this is the strangest slogan to try to get me to move to your state. You're basically telling me that I am overworked and stuck inside all the time. So what does it matter if it's sunny outside or not?
Right.
That is what you're telling me. Who thought that up?
Rude.
There's some weird ones.
What's their other slogan? There's less Californians.
Oh,
I believe they corrected it and said it was fewer Californians.
Okay, hold on. Oh, I'm looking up Ohio billboards, and because they actually have like pictures of them.
Yeah, there's some weird ones.
Yeah,
there's some. I don't know. It's not like they're trying to. Like, I realize they're advertising for us to move there, but they're not saying things that make you want to move to Ohio. Like, I mean,
yeah,
I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. Ohio, you might get mugged when you get here. Come on down. seems like that.
Ohio is actually kind of nice. Oh, no, here it is. 300 days of sunshine doesn't matter if you're always inside working. That is literally the billboard around the corner from where I live.
Oh,
and it's called Ohio is for leaders.com. And I'm like, folks, that's not the best slogan in the world to try to convince me to move to your state.
And you know, there was a boardroom of people who walked through all of these. They were like, we should spend money around the country to get people to move here with these slogans. You know, there was
a room. You've been at IBM too long. I don't think there was a boardroom of anybody giving a crap about what that said.
Well, no, hold on. That's
one
state.
Underpaid intern. Who's like, fine.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's a state program. You're right.
I'm imagining it's probably a state thing. So, of course, they had to get approval all the way through.
Mm-hmm. There's just a couple.
So it probably took them like 100 days at least just to get the first approval, and then the next one. So
do you have a couple more than names And then a couple more of the slogans, or do you have it actually?
So you? I don't know the other ones. Let me see if I can find some.
Okay.
Maybe there's one that got me. Like, so
yeah, I saw it the other when I was driving down on Lamar.
Keep Austin weird, like very high cost of living weird, Ohio.
What
does that even mean?
That's fantastically bad. What?
More like no-hio.
You just did infinitely better than however many people were involved in that campaign.
It's true.
So we should do a series of billboard campaigns in Ohio for Texas that is more like no-hio. No Ohio. Fuck, I can't even say it now. No Ohio.
Don't Texas, overthink it.
Right?
Yeah. You could do better, Ohio.
Speaking of noping out of things, I hear our friends at NPM are giving us hacked packages again.
What?
Yeah, so I'm the one who put this one on the
intentional
board.
I wouldn't call them friends.
aren't they Microsoft employees now too? Didn't they get bought by Microsoft?
They got bought by GitHub, NPM. So I guess yes.
Yeah.
The people behind NPM have been pretty wonderful. And
yeah,
for all that is holy, Node is a beast. Package management is tricky. Like, I don't want to start blaming folks just yet. But so tell us a little bit more what happened. So JFrog did some research and found Discord more dangerous than just to your emotional stability.
Well, so I don't know if it's like a bunch of people or just one rogue account or something, but there's like 17 packages on there that are supposedly going to help you with your Discord API management for your Discord servers. And these packages are either using like a typo to kind of convince you to pick something up, or it's something that's confusing, like MRG-message-broker. That's supposedly going to confuse somebody into downloading the wrong package. And again, nice. Like, this is that case where, like, if you get typos, things like that, and you type that in wrong in your dependency system, like, you need to be careful that you're downloading the right package.
I wonder if they're also phishing for, like, package autocomplete tooling. Because like your VS Code or whatever will have a cache of what's in NPM. And if they get one letter ahead of a real package, then theirs might show up earlier than the real one in the autocomplete.
So here is a horrible, horrible idea. We know that Autopilot and similar systems use GitHub.com and like open source repos to autocomplete your code. What if some hacker went through and made a ton of repos that imported their package?
It's absolutely a real thing, and it is absolutely going to happen, and it's absolutely going to fuck people.
It's probably already happened.
It probably is. If I've thought of it, it's already happened.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But that's terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, all you had to do was like get one letter wrong on eBay and you can get something really cheap. Now you get one letter wrong in your code and the nuclear codes are out to the world.
JJ, thank God no one's ever putting you in charge of the nuclear codes.
Going to run for government one day.
They put Rick Perry in charge of the nuclear codes, and that's probably even worse than JJ. So I take it back.
Yeah, I would take JJ. Yeah, vote for JJ is officially starting.
Right.
Yes. One day I'm going to be in office. Going to be in office one day.
No. We had this discussion.
It's going to happen.
JJ, he's just as useful as the COVID vaccination with the same name, JJ.
Oh, that's
60% efficacy, JJ.
I'm a one shot. Just need one shot.
See, now I'm picturing like billboards, because we just were talking about awful billboards. There you go.
Thanks.
We'll have to take down the attorney that rocks billboard and replace it with the vote for JJ billboard.
That attorney that rocks one is great. It's very good.
Oh, you've got like a local favorite, like cheesy attorney one.
Yeah, yeah.
No, he's like, he's actually a rock band member.
Right.
Nice.
That is an attorney. Like, he plays local music scenes.
Yeah, he's got like dreadlocks and like everything you would.
He's really
expect.
Cool.
He's really cool. Minnesota's got...
I think the ad is really cool. Like, I think it's very unique. It matches him. So perfect. That's exciting. I don't know. I've never actually met him, but I still think it's a really cool ad.
The pervasive billboard here is this guy saying, "We'll buy your house no matter the condition it's in," and his arms are wide open. Like, and there's just so many memes of people with their arms wide open.
Nice.
In the Slack for Minnesotans, like, people respond with that as an emoji all the time.
Wait. Back up for a minute.
The state of Minnesota has its own Slack.
Yeah.
The state of tech in Minnesota has its own Slack. Yeah.
Okay. That makes more sense.
No, I file my taxes through Slack now. Yeah.
And are you too cool for Hangouts? You have your own Slack?
I have not hung out in Hangouts in a long time. Wow. That's actually an interesting conversation of what has survived the Slack apocalypse of, I literally have 35 accounts, but there's only a couple I actually check now. It's for another day.
We forced our local like tech scene Slack to just use Hangups. And so that way we get to use Hangups for like local tech scene stuff, but also for dumb junky Hangout stuff, so it works pretty well.
That's great.
It's one less Slack channel to ignore.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, hey folks, what are you all cooking for holidays, at least so far? Well, I guess I'm the only one that had a holiday so far. So Hanukkah has come and gone already. It was super early this year.
Happy relative.
Thanks, friends. I made the best latkes I've ever made. And that was a big Hanukkah miracle in my book, because I am classically bad. I try to make them every year and they've always been pretty junky, like not cooked all the way through or burnt on the edges or just something going wrong. But I couldn't tell you what I did differently year over year, except that I actually know how to cook now. Thanks to hanging
You're
out
welcome.
With, I was going to say thanks to hanging out with Paul.
So wait, did you make them on the new stove in the new house?
Yeah, I just made it on the stove. Yeah, so I've got like a pretty, like a 2-inch cast iron pan. So like a nice thick cast iron. I use canola oil
You didn't make your own schmaltz?
Oh, no, I know. We can
end this conversation.
Oh, come on. I was actually going to say, I wonder if it could also be a stove. Cooking on
no,
a
it wasn't.
Stove.
It was user error. Thank you for trying. No, I was
sorry.
Bad.
I did try.
Because it's like a shallow fry, right? So there's a lot of contact with the bottom of the pan. So if your pan is too hot, that's where you're going to burn it. And you're going to end up with like edges burnt, but like undercooked in the middle. So it was probably just like figuring out the right temperature for the pan. I assume it was a cast iron pan, just
in the past.
What you would do. Yeah.
Yeah, mostly. Yeah, the last few years at least.
Yeah.
But I still would screw them up. So it's a heat. That's a good point. It's a heat control thing. I think there's a couple things I just knew to do now just from cooking. Like I strained the potatoes much better than I usually do. Kept the starch.
Talk us through that. So you you grate the potatoes, right?
Correct.
Yep. And then do you use a hand grater or do you use a food processor with a grating
attachment? I use the food processor with the grating attachment, which was so clutch because it was all perfectly uniform and I didn't cut a single knuckle.
Yep. And it also actually helps, I feel, get the juices flowing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I always find it's the potato strips are kind of already a little bit moist and then you stick them in a cloth bag and like twist and like strip. Do you salt it before you do that or do you just let it go?
I salted it after. I don't know if that was right or wrong, but did that.
I think it's fine. It just depends, like if you really want it to get liquid out, you'd probably salt it before.
Makes sense.
Yeah,
now Yeah, so I just did. I did it like a twist through kind of a cheesecloth and used another towel around it. The little bit of potato starch that ran off it, like after I was straining it, I added back in along with a little bit of flour, a couple of eggs, had an onion in there, also diced up, and that was it. Salt and pepper, fried. Freaking delicious.
Cool.
Yeah. So what very happens cool. after that? I don't have any big holiday meal plans. How about you all?
I do.
Tell us, JJ.
Yes, believe it or not, I actually do. So I have I don't have large family gatherings very often because all my family is dispersed. And this year we actually are. So my parents and I are planning on going to Costco to get the big prime roast, like big thing of it, you know, like the vacuum sealed, basically the whole meat thing. And my dad's planning on smoking that in his smoker, which is going to be quite nice. I tried to convince him to sous vide it and he called me an idiot. So... that plan died.
Proud of you.
I'm proud of your dad.
but on the flip side, my daughter's birthday party for her 11th birthday is tomorrow, and I have a bunch of 11-year-old girls coming over to my house, and I am going to be making them cupcakes. So
cute.
I have a really standard Victoria sponge cake recipe now that I've turned into cupcakes and done in a really nice buttercream frosting on top. And then I have a bunch of like sprinkles and shit that I'm just gonna basically put in front of them and be like, here, have sugar, have fun. Nice. And so that's gonna be my next.
You're not gonna do like a decorate your own cupcake bar?
We turns out the logistics of the night are very tight as it is so far. So basically I'm gonna fuck off from work tomorrow really early and make cupcakes.
Nice.
For the afternoon.
Yeah.
That's super cute.
Yeah.
That's me.
I had a thought, Matt, about your latkes. They're just like Jewish okonomiyaki, right? Did y'all just steal them from the Japanese and use potato instead of cabbage and like?
Let's not point who stole what from whom.
Anyway, the reason I thought of it, I was like, you could do the latkes, but then do the Japanese style, like mayo and like the okonomiyaki sauce and like the
Yeah. For people who can't see this, you should have just seen Matt's face.
Oh, that sounds so good. Right now.
What's the dried fishy things you put on top that like wave because of the heat? What are those things called?
You can't be talking about. I'm thinking both Jewish things and Japanese things. So I was like, gefilte fish? No, God, no. You're thinking combo?
The stuff you make the broth with. My brain's not working. Whatever it's called.
Yeah. No, I can see it. Like the dried fish strips.
Yeah.
God, why can't I think of it either? You know, we all know what we're talking about, right?
No.
Anyway.
No, I honestly have no idea what you're talking about, but that's okay. I'll have to get pictures later.
Sounds delicious, Paul.
Katsubushi.
Katsubushi, thank you.
Oh, I'm tight. Painful.
Oh, God, JJ, get out.
I think that's... I think at some point, JJ will have to sit you down and explain why that's kind of racist, but anyway.
Oh.
Yeah, that's why it's not fun.
Well, I can't say bless you. That's even worse.
No,
right?
That's the same.
It's the same.
Yeah.
The same.
Yeah.
It's another language. Yeah. Is this the first time you edit this podcast to remove that? We'll see.
No. Not going to happen.
Important life lessons.
So anyway, for Thanksgiving, I was not the cook. I ended up being the one having to do all the dishes. So... because we were traveling to visit. And again, probably for Christmas, I probably will not be cooking. I will be the one doing the dishes. So,
hey,
but I have made my eggnog streusel coffee cake a couple times. Everybody always loves it. Paul is still not a fan, I think, but I did discover one thing about eggnog.
That was not believable.
I did like it. It just wasn't banana pudding.
I know it wasn't the banana pudding you told me to make. I instead made eggnog streusel coffee cakes. I had everything for it.
Loved it. That's so brilliant.
Anyway, I did discover something very interesting about eggnog, though.
Mm.
It's actually really good in tea.
Oh, I bet it is.
The faces I'm getting right now. Yeah, so I went for the milk and I grabbed the eggnog to pour into my tea. It was surprisingly good. I don't know why, but it was surprisingly good.
You know, it's probably like a really cheaty chai. Because there are some of like nutmeg and other stuff in there. It's sweet.
Yeah. So there was a bit of sweet, bit of that, and a bit of creaminess that I wasn't expecting. Mm-hmm. And it was definitely an interesting experience. And I'm going to attempt it again later, probably this weekend, with actual chai and see what it tastes like.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought I'd share that apparently eggnog can go in tea, and it did not curdle, which I thought it would do actually. Mm-hmm. When I realized what I was pouring into my tea. But yeah, go figure.
Good to know. I wonder if you could put it under the like the milk frother in the espresso machine and get like a cappuccino froth eggnog.
Landon to... might
I love
Landon
this.
Might chase me out of the kitchen forever if I do that to his espresso machine.
Right. So there's
I had to do that when I was a barista.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, when I was a barista at Starbucks, I actually had to do that quite a bit. Mm-hmm. What was a
frothing eggnog?
Frothing eggnog?
Yeah, that was a thing.
I can believe that.
Apparently, it's a thing. I was going to say, Laura.
I just thought you were half listening, JJ. No, you're being serious. Okay, that's cool. Cool.
There's a Russian/Ukrainian coffee called a Raf. And it is, you basically do a shot or a double shot of coffee and you pour in the same amount of heavy cream. And you add vanilla sugar, and then you put that whole thing under the milk frother until it's frothy. And it's so good. It's like really delicious.
Interesting.
But again, Landon might not be happy. But like,
well,
whatever.
I can't do coffee. It'll so... clean. But yeah. Yeah, I probably need to get my own milk frother to be able to do any of this, because that's his precious.
It's precious.
If I touch the precious, it's going to not end well. So,
well, good. But, well, we'll catch back up in a week or so and give any updates on food we've gotten progress. But
sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, sounds like a plan.
Good.
Are we done?
Any last roundups?
Nah.
This is fun. Maybe. Good to see you all. Definitely missed you.
Yeah.
Have a restful week, good and we'll catch you on the other side of the hallway track.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.